Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Test. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We left off yesterday discussing the Lishchas Parhedrin and how it got that name. So once we mentioned how it got the name of Lishchas Parhedrin, the Gemara is going to talk about who these Parhedrin are and a little bit about the Parhedrin. The Parhedrin were these officers of the king that set market prices, and it was a position that changed every year, so they would always build things in their own name, and meaning that when the Lishchas Parhedrin was rebuilt by Kohanim Gedolim, who were also changed every year during the Tkufa of Bayesheni, so that's why we call it Lishchas Parhedrin. So the Gemara is going to tell us a little bit more about where the Parhedrin had an impact on Jewish life when it came to Trumos and Maestros. Then the Gemara is going to talk about probably one of the more famous Gemaras in all of Shas, and that is the reasons for the Churban of the Mishkan and Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. So we're going to talk about the Gimel Averos, how I know that the Gimel Averos were the cause of the Churban Bayis Rishon, how I know that Sinas Chinam was the cause of the Churban Bayis Sheni, and we're going to have then a discussion in the Gemara, what about the people during Tkufas Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni? Which ones were better? Which people were better? The people from Mikdash Rishon or the people in the times of Mikdash Sheni? So let's begin. We're holding on the where are we holding? On the bottom of Daf Ches Amud Beis, and we are we're three lines from the bottom of the page at Tanan Hasam. So again, we're just quoting this Mishnah in Demai that we're about to quote, simply as a way of introducing us to another time that the Parhedrin had an impact on Jewish life. So the basic Mishnah Demai tells us that Hanachtomin lochivos and chacham lahafrish elatrumus meiser v'chala, that the Nachtomin who would buy wheat from Amei Aretz, and then they would bake the bread and sell them in the marketplace. They chacham only required them to be mafrish trumus meiser and chala, to give to a kohen. But meiser rishon, meiser ani, that they didn't have to give. They didn't have to give the Maaser Rishon to a Levi, they didn't have to give Maaser Ani to an Ani, they would eat that themselves. Mestama, the Rishon point out, they were Mafresh those things, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani, because you can't take Trumas Maaseros unless you're Mafresh Maaser Rishon. They were Mafresh, but they didn't give Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani. And as far as Maaser Sheni is concerned, that they weren't even Mafresh. They didn't do anything as far as Maaser Sheni. And all of this was when they purchased Demai, meaning obviously when they purchased that which was totally Tevel and that which they knew was Tevel, so then you have to be mafresh everything. But Demai is produce from Namaretz, where they have the right to assume that the Amaretz are mafresh Truma Gedola and not mafresh anything else. And this is how they therefore behaved, that the Chum only required them to be mafresh Trumas Meiser and Chala. So Bishlam Truma Gedola, lo, I understand why it is that the Chum were not mechayev them to be mafresh Truma Gedola, Titanya, because the Brisa tells us, Lefisha Sholach v'chol Gvula Yisrael v'ra'a she'in mafreshin el Truma Gedola Bilvad, that Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Rashi points out, that's who was Shalach. Yochanan Kohen Gadol investigated, and he found out that throughout all of Klal Yisrael, throughout all of Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to find out if we were being Mafresh Trumas or Maisos properly, and he saw that they were only Mafresh Truma Gedola, whereas Maiser Rishon, Maiser Sheni, Maiser Ani, some yes, some no. Some people were Mafresh, other people were not. But Truma Gedola, people were very religious about, so he made a takana that when you purchase produce from an Am Haaretz, you have to mafresh all the other maestros, but not Truma Gedola, because you can trust that Truma Gedola is already being taken. So you see that there's no chiv to mafresh Truma Gedola from Demai, because you can assume that it's, they were Vadei Tarim. Why were they Vadei Tarim? Why were they so much more religious about Truma Gedola than they were about everything else? So the Tosfos Ri Lavan writes, because it's so easy. Chita Achas Poteres is Kalakri. All you need to be Yotze Truma Gedola is one little stalk of wheat. So it didn't cost them anything. So that's why they were careful about Truma Gedola, even though it's true that typically one is supposed to give around 2%. The Mishnah tells us that Ayin Tova is to give 1/40th, Ayin Ra'a is 1/60th, Ayin Beinon is 1/50th, but nevertheless, the halach is chita achas poteres es kol akri, that you could be yotze with one chita, so that's why they would be mafresh Truma Gedola. The mitzvah nesinas Truma Gedola, and the Debuta points out in the Tshuva, and Tosrit also writes, the mitzvah nesinas Truma, that probably you need a kedei nesina, that a single chita doesn't work, but you can let one chita build on another chita over time until you have a kedei nesina, and then you give it all to the kohen. So they were able to be mekayim in the mitzvah with very little loss. However, the Rabbeinu Eliyakim says, no, it's not about how difficult the mitzvah was, it was about how high the stakes were, that they were choshesh, that when it comes to Truma Gedola, that there's a chi of Misa in not being a mafresh Truma Gedola, and the Bartanura quotes both of these reasons, and he said the Amiaris thought that there's no Misa in Trumas Meiser so long as it wasn't a Hufrash, but they were very nervous about Truma Gedola, they thought they'd be playing with fire, so they were mafresh Truma Gedola. So okay, so now I understand why these Nachtomin didn't have to be mafresh Truma Gedola. Meiser Rishon Meiser Ani Nami Lo, I also understand why they don't have to be mafresh Meiser Rishon Meiser Ani, because Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. Certainly they have to be mafresh Meiser Rishon Meiser Ani, they don't have to give Meiser Rishon Meiser Ani, because unlike Truma, there's an Isser for a Zar to eat Truma. There's no Isser for a non-Kohen to eat Meiser Rishon or Meiser Ani. It's not Macholos Asuros for a non-Kohen, it's just a Dinim Ominis, that you have to give it to the people who are supposed to have it. But this is Demai. You don't know that the Amai Aretz were not Mafresh Meiser Rishon or Meiser Ani already, and therefore you can tell the Ani, or you can tell the Levi, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya, prove to me that this is really Tevel Tevel the Meiser Ani or the Meiser Rishon, and then I'll be happy to give it to you. But short of that, you're allowed to keep it. It's like any other Dinim Ominis where you would say Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. So it sounds like whenever you have a din of a suffix of Matnas Aniyim, that we treat it like Dinim Ominis, meaning the halacha is now, when you have a Safek Isser, when we're dealing with the Daraisa, Safek Isser, you go Luchumra, Safek Daraisa Luchumra. Safek in Dine Mamonis, we say, Motzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. Safek Mamon is Lekula. That's what the Vilna Gaon points out, that the Pasuk, Bein Dam Ladam, Bein Din Ladin, Bein Nega Lenega, identifies three different areas of Torah, that Rav Yosef Engel writes. That Bein Dam Ladam is, Rav Yosef Engel quotes the Gra, that Bein Dam Ladam is a reference to Isser Vehetir, that Isha is Asura Labaila. That's Isser V'Heter, that's Yoredeya. Bein Din L'Din is Dinim Mamonis, and Bein Nega L'Nega is Tumah V'Tahara. And these, while we have a concept of Binyanav and learning from one place in the Torah to the other, we generally don't cross over those three sections, meaning each one has their own rules that are each self-contained. Haraya, the best example that each one has their own rules, what do you do about a Safek in each case? So Safek Dinim Mamonis, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. Safek in Isser V'Heter, Safek Daraisa L'Chumra, Safek Draban L'Kula. Savik and Tumatara, Savik Tuma Bershus Rab Mistara, Savik Tuma Bershus Yachid is Tame. They work with completely different rules from each other. So how do you view the din of Meiser Ani? Is Meiser Ani a din in Dinim Mamonis, or is Meiser Ani a din in Isser V'Heter that you have a chiyuv to give Meiser Ani? So the Ran in the Darim Dav Zayin points out from here that it's a kasha and the Ramban and the Rashba that were machmir by Sveikos Legabe Tzedaka and Peya, that they're machmir that it's a Safek Isser. He says, you see from here, not to be Machmir, you see from here that it has a din of din and mamonis, and not a din of Isser. So the Yad David, he suggests that they're more makel by Demai, because Rov Amei Aretz are Ma'asrin. So it wouldn't be, meaning on a Daraisa level, if you were to really deal with the Isser V'Heter issue, you would say, Zlina Basaruba, and the Rov is that it's already taken care of. So the only thing left is the din and mamonis issue, in Holchen B'mamonachar Rov. So the only thing left is the Dinei Mamonis issue, so I could follow Dinei Mamonis rules, and the Dinei Mamonis rule is Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. So they were not Mafresh Meiser Rishon, they did not give Meiser Rishon or Meiser Ani because they didn't have to, because Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. But El Meiser Sheni Nifreshim Niskim Nechlubi Yerushalayim. But why not take Meiser Sheni and go and bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim? Isn't that what you're supposed to do with Meiser Sheni? And after all, the Amei Aretz cannot be trusted to have taken care of the Meiser Sheni. So answers the Gemara, Amar Ula Mitoch She Parhedrin Alol. That's why I'm recording this whole thing. Parhedrin Alol Uchovten Osan. These officers of the king used to drive them crazy. Kol Shem Asar Chodesh, every 12 months when there was a new Parhedrin, and each one wanted to make a name for himself and wanted to show how he's going to increase the profits of the king and he's going to decrease the profits of the Nachtamin. Varmalan, Michrubazol, and he would tell them that they have to sell things at a very low price. Lo Atruchu Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan weren't Matriach the Nachtamin to then have to take their Meiser Sheni to Yerushalayim and eat it there, and they were allowed them to be somich on the fact that Rov Amei Aretz are in fact Ma'asrin. So that's my Parhedrin. What does it mean, Parhedrin? Purs. Porsi, it means the officers of the king who were in charge of these things, who were in charge of the setting of market prices. So Sishan raised the question, how hard is it to be mafresh ma'aseh sheni? Meaning, I understand, to take 10% of your produce and then bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there for the week at a time that you're going to be in Yerushalayim. So that's very hard to do, and you're going to end up having to leave a lot of your food in Yerushalayim and give it to other people, and that's why throughout the year, like we learned in the Masechta Shkalim, we assume that whenever you find money, we assume that people were, it's Ma'aseh Sheni money, because Ma'aseh Sheni money was left with the Bnei Yerushalayim, and they were buying meat there all year, because who could eat 10% of their income in 2 weeks that they spend in Yerushalayim? So I understand, that would be a major loss. I would have to leave half most of my money in Yerushalayim. I wouldn't be able to use the money. But, says Tosfos, there's another option. When you couldn't schlep all your Ma'aseh Sheni money, all your Ma'aseh Sheni produce to Yerushalayim, you could be mechallel on money, yeah? So normally you'd think you'd be mechallel on money that's worth the amount of the produce. But the halacha is that if you're mechallel al shava pruta, even if it's a lot of produce, and you're mechallel it even on just the shava pruta, it works. So why couldn't they at least do that? At least let them take all their ma'aseh sheni, be mechallel on a shava pruta, and bring that shava pruta to Yerushalayim, and it won't be such a major loss. At least that way they'll be mekayim in some way ma'aseh sheni. So Tos Yishanim writes, Chum didn't want to be mesakein to do such a thing, because that's not lechatchila to be mechallel on shavu pruta, and they'll even though over here it's instead they're going to do nothing, but then they'll come to do that with other things as well. They'll start being mechallel all their hektish on shavu pruta, they'll start being mechallel other things on shavu pruta, and that's not right. Or he suggests it could be that it's not possible. It could be that it's only by hektish that you're able to be mechallel on shavu pruta and not on ma'aser sheni. The Ritva disagrees with that. The Ritva says me'echi tesi, why would it be that hektish is more kal than ma'aser sheni? That hektish you're allowed to be mechallel on shavu pruta and ma'aser sheni, you're not allowed to be mechallel on shavu pruta. So there is a suggestion that the Achronim have. They quote here in the Masifta from the Imre Chayin, who says, based on what Rav Elchanan writes in Kovetz Shiurim, that there's a fundamental difference between hektish and ma'aser sheni in the way that it becomes kadosh. But hektish, the kedusha is chal as an outgrowth of the mammon and the kinyan. That once you're makna something to hektish, you have a dine mammonis kinyan that now belongs to hektish, mimela the kedusha is chal. And therefore, when you're podi, it even b'shavapruta, since the shavapruta has a din mammon, it takes away that kinyan from hektish, and mimela the kedusha falls away. But by ma'aser sheni, the mammon kinyan is a totsa'a from the kedusha. It starts with the kedusha's ma'aser sheni, and then the mammon is an outgrowth of that. So the din of pidyon is zeh tachazeh. So it could be that you have to be podi b'shavya, because you have to deal with the kedusha element first, and the kedusha has to be shava b'shava. So it's not a din. It's not an inyan that the hektish is more less chamur than ma'aser sheni. It's just the nature of the kedusha is such that you could be podi hektish on a shava pruta. You cannot be podi ma'aser sheni on a shava pruta. Okay, period. That was as far as the parhedrin. Now the gemara goes back to the kohen. Where we mentioned that a lot of them were Rasha'im, right? Because that's why we were discussing Lishchas Parhedrin, that it was redone every year, just like the Parhedrin are a new officer every year. So we're going to discuss why it is that there were so many Kohanim Gedolim during Bayis Sheni. Amar Abar B'chanam Rabbi Yochanan, my dechsev, Yiras Hashem Tosav Yamim Shnos Roshom Tiktorna. So Yiras Hashem Tosav Yamim, what's that a reference to? Ze Mikdash Rishon, Sha'amar Abra Meos Fa'asar Shanim, V'loshim Shabal L'shmona Asar Kohanim Gedolim. Different yourselves and Rishonim exactly how many Kohanim Gedolim, but we'll stick with that one. That the Mikdash Rishon lasted for 410 years, and throughout that entire Tkufa, 410 years, there were only 18 Kohanim Gedolim, meaning each one had a nice long tenure as a Kohen Gadol, because they were good people, they were big tzaddikim, so they were Yirei Hashem, and they didn't, they had a Richus Yamim, and they were able to maintain their Kohanim Gedolim for a long time. But Rishonos Rishonim Tiktorna, Zem Mikdasheni, Shaman Abram, Eosayasim Shana, Mikdash Sheni was 420 years. Vishim Shabo Yoser Mishalosh Meos Kohanim, and there were more than 300 Kohanim Gedolim, because the majority of them were Rishayim. Not all of them, but the majority of them, and therefore they lasted a very short amount of time. Tzei Mehem Arbaim Shana Shimi Shimon HaTzadik. Take away 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was, meaning the few that were Tzadikim lasted a very long time, held the office for a very long time, which makes it even all the more remarkable that they managed to have over 300 Kohanim Gedolim in such a short time. So 40 years for Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was in the beginning of the Tekufas Bayis Sheni. He was from the Beis Din of Ezra. He was from the Knesset HaGedola, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the Chagai Zechariah Malachi, or from the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. He was the last of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. He was what the Mishnah Novels calls Mishiyare Knesset HaGedola, like the Shirayim, meaning the very end of the Knesset HaGedola. So he lasted for 40 years. Shmonim Shashim was Yochanan Kohen Gadol, and 80 years that Yochanan Kohen Gadol was the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara in Bracha tells Yochanan Kohen Gadol was Shimish Shmonim Shana, and then at the end he was Nasa Tzeduki, that he became a Tzeduki after 80 years of serving as the Kohen Gadol. But nevertheless, for 80 years he was a Tzaddik. So it's not the same Yochanan Kohen Gadol Pashas that we were referring to before. There were two Yochanan Kohen Gadols. The Takan of Demai was earlier. So Takan of Demai was a different Yochanan Kohen Gadol. But this is Yochanan Kohen Gadol that the Gemara in Brachos talks about. Eser Shishim Yishmael ben Pavi, and then there were 10 years of the tenure of Yishmael ben Pavi. Who is Yishmael ben Pavi? So the Gemara in Pesachim told us that the Azara cried out, "Su Shar Mashechem V'Yikanes Yishmael ben Pavi Talmido Shal Pinchas." That Yishmael ben Pavi should be allowed to enter V'Yishamish Bukuna Gadola, and he should serve as the Kohen Gadol. He also comes up at the very end of Sota, at the last Dafin Sota. The Gemara, the Mishnah tells us, and the Gemara adds a few more of Misha Meis, this one, so Batla, whatever, Misha Meis Rebbe, Batla Anava, Misha Meis Rabbi Gamliel, Batla Kavanatayra, whatever, all these different things. So Yishmael ben Pavi is Misha Meis Rabbi Yishmael ben Pavi, Batla Ziva Kuhuna, that he represented the Kuhuna so beautifully that when he was gone, the Ziva Kuhuna was gone as well. So he lasted for 10 years. Va'armila Achas Hasri Shishimesh Rabbi Lazar ben Charsom. And some say that there was 11 years that Rabbi Lazar ben Charsom served as a Kohen Gadol, and he's going to come up later in the Masechta, in this Masechta. Rabbi Lazar ben Charsom is the one that we're more familiar with the other half of the Gemara, that Hillel is Mechayev es Haniyim, and Rabbi Lazar ben Charsom is Mechayev es Hashirim. So that's the context the Gemara is going to tell that story, where Hillel was on the skylight and in the snow and trying to hear the Divrei Torah. But the other half of that is that Rabbi Lazar ben Charsom, that if a person is going to say, Lachamev es Mashana, I was too wealthy, I had too much wealth to manage and to deal with, that I didn't have time to be able to learn. So Rabbi Lazar ben Charsom is the Mechayev for that. So he was a Kohen Gadol for 11 years. So Mikan Ve'elik Seva Chashav, you take away those few Kohanim and their 10 years, so you do the Cheshbon, Kolech Rebech Lotzi Shnasa. So it turns out each one lasted less than a year, which begs the question, why did anyone want this job? I mean, we just learned that they were paying for this job. Why in the world would they be interested in this job? It just goes to show you the way people's minds are, that they assume that, now I'm really a tzaddik and everything I do is good and it's not going to happen to me, and or it's just a coincidence, if that's the way people tend to be. Although some suggest that no, the tzedukim felt that they were so right, meaning they were doing this so that they could be makdir the ketoros in the derech hatzedukim and not in the derech hachachamim. And every time they would do that, they would drop dead, but they felt that they were being moser nefesh for what was right, that even though they were dropping dead, this is, the tzedukim didn't have an easy life, meaning that most of their things in halacha were chumras, they weren't kulas, but because they took everything so literally, but they believed it. They believed in what they were doing, as wrong as it was. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Torsim, Meim Ar Chor Vashilus. Now we're going to get into the reasons for Chorban, not only Chorban of the Bate Mikdash, but we start with Churban Shiloh, the Churban of the Mishkan. There were two problems two Averos that were going on, Bizayin Kachim and both Bizayin Kachim and Gilei Arayos. Now the Maritz Chayis in Maseches Megillah says, what do you mean Neymar Churba Shiloh? The game plan was never that Shiloh should be the place. It was always supposed to be a build-up to ultimately have a Beis HaMikdash. What kind of question? So he says, yeah, but it didn't have to be destroyed. It could have become a museum or something. I don't know. They could have left it there. Why did it have to be destroyed? So that's what we're asking. So because of these two Averos. So what were these two Averos? Gilei Arayos. Where do we see that these two Averos were violated? Gilei Arayos Tuchsiv, because the Pasuk says when Eli HaKohen is giving Musar to his children, it says, Ve'eli Zakin Ma'od, Vishamas Kol Yashayasim Banu V'Chol Yisrael. He was very old and he heard about everything that his children are doing to Klal Yisrael. That's Asher Yishkuvunis Hanashim Atzovus Pesach Chol Moed. Sounds like Gilui Arayos, that there were women that were coming at Pesach Chol Moed, and his sons were sleeping with these women. So why does it have to mention how old he was? So the Medrash tells us that Zikna Kavtza Lav, because sometimes when a person prematurely ages, that he got old very quickly, and the kasa against his children caused him to become old. You know, the expression that people have, that whatever stress they have in their life is what caused them, you know, to turn white or whatever. So he became a zakein because of the difficulty in dealing with his children. The Radak writes that, no, he wasn't able to take over himself and be Meshamish Bekuna because he was too old. So that's why his children had such prominent roles in the Mishkan, and that's why they were able to do what they did, because they had such prominent roles. So we're highlighting the fact that he was it was difficult for him to deal with everything that was going on because he was an older person already. So says Mar, wait a second, were they really committing Gilui Arayos? But didn't we learn the Gemara in Shabbos, Kalomar b'nei Eli Chatu Einu Ela Tova, that anyone who says that the Bnei Eli sinned with Eishes Ish, meaning that it's Pshutuk Mashmo, that they really violated Gilui Arayos, that Tzeinu El Latoa, that they're making a mistake, right? That's what the Gemara in Shabbos tells us about a number of people. Kol Omer Ruvin Chateinu El Latoa, Kol Omer David Chateinu El Latoa, Kol Omer Yoshiyahu, all of the psukim that seem to read about Tzadikim, that they've done these terrible things, the Gemara says it's not to be taken on the simple level, it's not to be taken on the surface, it's Tzeinu El Torah, to read it in the simple way. So mitoch sheshahu imkinein sheshahu imkinein mia malalein akasav kilu shechavim. So no, what does it mean that because they made women wait until they were able to bring their bird karbanos, the yoledas ischayev, to bring a set of birds, and bnei eli caused the women to wait until they brought their bird karbanos, and that caused them a bitul piriv rivya. So that was malalein akasav kilu. It's as if they slept with them, even though they didn't. Now it's interesting because minadin, the women should not really have had to stay there. We just learned Masech Hashkalim, right? What was it all about? They take the money that they're chayiv in the khan, they drop it in the box, and then you go home, and you can assume that the khanim are taking care of everything. But that's exactly the point. The bnei eli weren't taking care of everything, so the women had to stay to make sure it was being done because they couldn't trust that it was being taken care of. So because they couldn't trust that it was being taken care of, they had to stay by Mishkan Shilah longer, and because they had to stay by the Mishkan longer, it kept them away from their home longer, and that's considered a big avla to keep a woman away from her husband. That's why when Rabbanim Paskin in Hilchos Nidah Shailos, there's always a netiyah, there's always like a certain kovid rosh where you can't just flippantly say, ah, I might as well be machmir. No, we try to be mekel as much as the Gemara says that's what David HaMelech's attitude was. That David Gemara Brach says that David HaMelech says yadai miluchlachos v'dam shir v'dam shilya kidei letaher. What kind of lashon is that? Kedei letar, kedei livso, kedei laharos. Whether she's mutar or asher lebayla. No, kedei letar isha lebayla. That's always the goal. The goal is letar isha lebayla because it's an avla to keep her away from her husband. So that's what they did. That was the avla that they did. Bizayin kachim. Where do we find that there was an inyan of bizayin kachim in Mishkan Shiloh? Tichsiv, because the pasuk says gam betar miyaktiru nesachelu v'ba nara koin varmalisha soveach. A nara koin would tell the person who's shechting tana basal litzlos a koin v'lo yikach mimcha basar mivushal. And the man would say, "Kater yaktirun kayom hachelev," and wait until it's burnt. And then you'll take what you want. And the nar would say, "Ki atotitain, no, give it now." And if you don't give it to me right now, I'm going to take it forcefully. So that the reason that the na'arim spoke so and acted so inappropriately about Kachim was because the Anashim were acting inappropriately about Kachim. The Bnei Eli were not treating Kachim with proper respect. So the Na'arim, the younger generation, the younger kids, learned from the way, the Anashim, from the way the big people were acting. So that's at every Chag Asmicha in Yeshiva, Rav Shechter always says the same Musar to the Mesmachim. He always says that you should realize that whatever you do, whatever your standard of behavior is, your Talmidim or Balbatim or whoever it is, they're always going to aim for a few levels lower. Because if that's what the rabbi could do, so I could do a few levels lower. So if you try to live a bare minimalist what is minimally right, what is minimally okay, so then everyone else is going to be subpar. Meaning that that's the Anashim couldn't, they're setting an example. So the Anashim, the Bnei Eli, act in a certain way toward Kachim, so then the Na'arim speak such different nivel about Kachim and say they're going to take it forcefully and they're totally mevazeh the Kachim. Okay, so once we tell us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Torta was told us the reason for the Chorban Shiloh, so now the Gemara is going to get into the reason for the Chorbanos of the base of the Bate Mikdash. So Mikdash Rishon Mnei Macharav, why is it the first base of Mikdash was destroyed? Mipnei Shlosha Devarim Shayibo. There were just three things that they did. Avod Zor Gilurai Shvich Zdam. They picked an important three to violate. So Avod Zor Duchsiv Avod Zor. The pasuk says in the Navi Yeshaya when he was telling us about the Paranos come to Klal Yisrael, ki katzar ha-matzah mi-istareya, that the mattress is going to be too short to fit us. So my katzar ha-matzah mi-istareya, am Rabbi Yonasan, katzar matzah zeh. This matzah is going to be too short, meaning Hashem is going to cause that the place, the Beis HaMikdash, is going to be shortened, mi-istarel of shnei reyim ke-echad, because we allow two friends to be there simultaneously, meaning together with the Hashras HaShchina, we were machnas etzelim into the Beis HaMikdash, and that's shnei reyim ke-echad, so that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the Chorban. Ben Yoyada is horrified by this language. What do you mean, Shnei Reim? How do you talk HaKadosh Baruch Hu and some Getchka or Shnei Reim? So he says, no, says Ben Yoyada, it means that Mistama, they appointed a Kohen to be in charge of the Tzelem. So it's talking about the different Kohanim. They have a Kohanim serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Kohanim serving the Tzelem, and those are the Shnei Reim Kefal, but it can't be that it's referring to the Ashras HaShchina itself together with the Tzelem. That's impossible. The Masecha of Tzarki is Kaneis, Amr Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Kimati Rabbi Yonasan, the high crab Bachi. When Rabbi Yonasan would read this pasuk, he would cry. Amr Mandachsiv Be Konis Kanei Meayam, the one who says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such koach that he's able to gather all the waters of the world together and make a large tower out of them and stop them from running in the normal way. Nasla Masecha Tzara. So now it's just an image, an empty image is going to be a Tzara, it's going to be his competition that he has to deal with that. Gilei Arayos, where do we find that they violated Gilei Arayos? Because of Pasuk tells us in the Nevuah of Yishayahu about the Churban, Vayomer Hashem Yan Ki Gavu Benos Tzion Vatilachnu Tzios Garon Umesakros Einayim Haloch V'Tafov Tilachnu Baragleyan Ta'akasna. So there were five things that the Benos Tzion, five ways that they acted inappropriately, one in each phrase in this Pasuk. Yan Ki Gavu Benos Tzion, what does that mean? Shei Mahalchos Aruka B'Tzad Ketzara. They would dafka try to stand out. So if a young lady wanted to be noticed and she was very tall, she would stand right next to a very short woman so that she would be noticed as the tall one and she would stand out. So Tadaf could be noticed. Vatilachnin to his garon. What does that mean? Shrei Malchus become a Zukofa. They would walk in Derech Gaiva. They would walk with an upright posture. Umesakro Seinayim. What does that mean? Davu Malyum Kuchla Einayim. They would put a lot of eye makeup on. Haluch V'tof of Tilachnin means Shrei Malchus Ekev V'sad Gudal. That the way they would walk was their heel in front of the big toe, and that was considered a priestistic way of walking. Ubraglei and Takasna, Am Rabbi Yitzchak Shem Avios Marvar Parsimon Umanichus Bimina Alehen. They would put all sorts of perfumes in their shoes. Ukshemagios Yitzal Bachure Yisrael Baatos Matizus Alehen. And when they came across young men, they would start kicking their feet so that the perfume would escape. And Machnisin Ben Yitzara Keres Bekolus, and the Yitzara would overtake the young men, meaning they were dafka trying to be megara the Yetzer Hara of the young men. Shvichas Damim, where do we find that in Tekuvas Bayis Rishon there was a violation of Shvichas Damim? Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says in Malachim Beis, when it talks about the terrible things that happened to Yerushalayim because of the sins of the Jewish people, the Gam Damna Ki Shafach Menasha Harbe Ma'od Ad Asher Milei Es Yerushalayim Pelepe, that aside from all the other Averos, there was a lot of murder, that Menasha was a Melech Yehuda, and it's as if he killed so many people, as if it was all the Dam Chalalim was filling up Yerushalayim. So that's why Hashem says through the Nevi'im and Malachim over there, Yana Sharasa Menashe Melech Yehuda Toevos Eila, because he did these Toevos, the Navi goes on to say, I'm going to bring Ra'al Yerushalayim Yehuda Asher Kol Shama Titzal Neshtei Oznav, that your ears are gonna be roasted from hearing these terrible shmuos of what's going to happen as a result of the behavior of Menashe. Menashe was the the king after Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was a tzaddik. Menashe was very much the opposite of Chizkiyahu. So that was a big problem. So that's where we find all three averus. So once we're told why Churban Mikdash Rishon happened, so the Gemara says, and why did Mikdash Sheni? Why was Mikdash Sheni destroyed? Aval Mikdash Sheni shayu oskim b'Torah Mitzvos Gemilas Chasadim ne'macharach. Mikdash Sheni, they were involved in Torah Mitzvos Gemilas Chasadim. Why would Mikdash Sheni be destroyed? That was as a result of sinas chinam. That sinas chinam corresponds to the three averas of avodzar gilurai shvichas damim. Meaning, it's as great as that one avera equals all the other three averas, or the three big averas of avodzar gilurai shvichas damim. So that's an astonishing statement that sinas chinam is such a significant avera. In fact, the Chafetz Chaim writes in his Hakdama, it's not just any sinas chinam. It's the ramification of sinas chinam, the way sinas chinam expresses itself. Sinas chinam expresses itself most often in lashon hara, and he says it's not an accident that the Gemara in Arachin, where it talks about lashon hara, also says that lashon hara is keneged avod zar gilurai shvichas damim. So he says the sinas chinam we're referring to over here is a sinas chinam that's expressed through lashon hara. So he says, and if Chafetz Chaim writes in Avas Yisrael that if lashon hara has the ability to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, can you imagine that it certainly has the ability to prevent the construction of the third Beis HaMikdash? And he says, why is it so serious? Because, first of all, it's violated constantly. It's so easy to fall into the habit of constantly saying it. And the Sinas Chinam brings about Lashon Hara, brings about Machlokas, brings about Onas Dvarim. It opens up so many other Averos. When you start with Sinna in one's heart, it brings about all sorts of other Averos. So that's Sinas Chinam. That's why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the Gemara brings a little bit more about the Tkufa Bayis Sheni. Rishayim Hayu, they were Rishayim, but they trusted that Hashem was going to save them anyway. So I saw the Mikdash Rishon. That's not about Mikdash Sheni, that's about Mikdash Rishon. Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says in the Navi Micha that even though they were Rishayim, they trusted Hashem, Rosheh b'shochad yishpotu. V'kohaneh b'mechir yoru. Unviyah b'kesef yiksomu. Everything was run by money. Everything was a matter of money. If you paid enough money, you can get anyone to paskin whatever you want, and get anyone to do whatever you want. Unfortunately, there are parts, this problem is not entirely solved yet. Put it that way. So you could pay for a lot of things. That Hashem is bikurbeinu. He's not going to look. We still have a Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem is there. We're not going to have anything bad befall us. What do each of these phrases mean? Rasha b'shochad yishpotu is talking about the shoftim of Yerushalayim, the judges. They would take bribes. Kohanel b'mechir yaru is the kohen of Yerushalayim. And the main job, they would do avodah one week out of the year in the Beis HaMikdash, but their main job is to teach Torah and to paskin halachos. So based on how much they got paid, that's how they would paskin. And via b'kesef yiksomu, that's nevi'a sheker, that you pay enough money and you'll get whatever nevuah you want. And v'al Hashem yishanu lemar, al Hashem b'kabenu l'sova aleinu ra, they would look at the Beis HaMikdash and say, look, there's a Beis HaMikdash there, so there's hashras hashchira, and therefore nothing bad is going to happen to us. L'ficha chevi aleinu kodesh baruch hu sholosh gzeiros k'neged sholosh averos shabiyadim. So kodesh baruch hu brought about three gezeros, connected these three averos that they had done. Shenemar lechem beglalchem, because of these three things, Tzion sada techrash, v'Yerushalayim iyantiyah, v'harabayis l'bamos ya'ar, that Tzion became like a plowed field, Yerushalayim became totally destroyed, and harabayis became like an overgrown forest. B'mikdash rishon lo hava beisinas chinam. So says Mar, wait a second, we said mikdash rishon is v'zigvir shirch zamin, mikdash sheni is sinas chinam. In mikdash rishon was there no sinas chinam? V'aksiv, doesn't the pasuk say "Maguri al cherev hayus ami lechein svok al yarech"? That they you should smack on your thigh in distress. V'am Reb Lazar el ben adam sholchem sholsim zeh mzeh v'dokren zeh zeh b'chavras shabel shonam. These are people that eat and drink together, and then they speak lashon hara about each other. Then they say, so you see, even in the bayis rishon there was sinas chinam. That that's what the Chafetz Chaim points out. It's not just that sinas chinam b'chavras shabel shonam, that they use their mouth, they use their speech to hurt each other. other. So that's the sinas chinam that happened during that period also. So how can you say that it was only a bayisheni inyan sinas chinam? That was something that was going on earlier as well. So says Mar Ubin Yisrael Havayid Chsiv Zaak Vilal Ben Adam Kachi Yosu Ba'ami V'Tanya Zaak Vilal Ben Adam Yachal Akol Tamalomer He Bechol Nasiyah Yisrael. That's referring to a specific subsegment of the subsection of the population, that it's a that it's dafka the Nasiyah Yisrael that behaved in such a way, but the rank and file in general did not behave that way until Bayesheni. Bayesheni, that's where Sinas Chinam became a much bigger problem among a broader segment of Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Damri Tarvayus. Now the Gemara brings differences between Tekufas Bayis Rishon and Tekufas Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar both said that Rishonim Sheniskala Avonim Niskala Kitzam, that the Averos of the Bayis Rishon were so obvious to everybody. Avod Zaragila, right? Shvichus Damim, those are hard Averos to hide. So therefore, the end of the Golos became evident to us, that when they were going to leave, was Golos was obvious, that it was 70 years in Golos Babel, and that was it. But Achronim Shalom Niskala Avonam, where they were Rishayim privately, not everyone saw their Averos in Bayesheni, Lo Niskala Kitzam, that's what we don't know when the Golos is going to end. It's still ongoing, and we don't know when there's going to be a Mikdash Shlishi. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Tovetzi, pardon Shalom Yishon, meaning a lot of times people think they know and they promise, or whatever, and we're Mechaka B'chol Yom Sheyavo, but we don't know. You know, there's a Maisa of Yaakov Kamenetsky when Rabbi Yaakov was in Toronto. There was someone going to try, wanted to get all the shopkeepers to close their stores for Shabbos, because all these Jewish shopkeepers were keeping their businesses open in the 1940s, were keeping their businesses open on Shabbos. So someone told them, if you close your stores on Shabbos, Mashiach is going to come in 2 weeks. You just stay Shabbosos, Mashiach is going to come. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky went around to each store and said, you should close your stores on Shabbos, Mashiach is not going to come. It's not going to make Mashiach come when you close your stores on Shabbos. So someone said to him, how could you tell them to keep the businesses open on Shabbos? He said, at least now they believe in Mashiach. But you're going to tell them to close their stores and Mashiach doesn't come. And then when he doesn't come, they won't even believe in that. They're not even going to believe in Mashiach. We don't know. We hope. B'chol yom sheyavo. We hope each and every day. But knowledge, we can't say that we know. That's what the Gemara said. Lo niskal kitzam. Am Rabbi Yochanan Tovetzi, partner shal rishonim, mikreson shal achronim. The least valuable part of the body of the earlier generation is greater than the most valuable part of the later generation. The tziporin is the fingernail as opposed to kreson, the torso. So Amalei Reish Lakish, Adarab, Achronim Adifi. No, I would say that the Doros Achronim are better. That Av Gavdi, Kashibun Malchios, Ka'aski B'Torah. Look at all the Torah that's being learned, despite all the Tzaras that we have. So Amalei, Biru Tochiach. No, just look at the Beis HaMikdash. Shechazel Rishon, Melo Chazel Achronim. It came back for the people in the Bayis Rishon, meaning they came back. They had a Bayis Sheni, but it never came back after the loss of Bayis Sheni. Shalos Rablazer, Rishonim Gedolim, Achronim Gedolim. So they asked Rablazer this question. Who is greater? So Amalei, Tenu Einechem Babira. Look at the Beis HaMikdash, and you see that it came back after the Churban Bayis Rishon, didn't come back after Churban Bayis Sheni. Igadamri Amar Lahem, Eidechem Bira, your Eidos is the Bira, is the Beis HaMikdash. Reish Lakish, Avisachib Yardena, Reish Lakish was bathing in the Yarden. So Asa Rabbi Barbar Chana, Yavla Yalda, Rabbi Barbar Chana came and gave him a hand to lean on him to go to the riverbank. So Amalei, Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Barbar Chana, Elaka is a Lashon of a Shua, Sagina Luchu, I can't stand you guys, you B'nai Babel. Look what a terrible thing you did. After the Golos Babel, how many of you came back to Eretz Yisrael for Bayis Sheni? That, you know, Ezra Sofer was gathering everyone together to come back. And who came back? Very few people came. They're the people who had nothing going on in Babel, who had no Hatzlach in Babel, those are the ones that went back to Eretz Yisrael. But anyone who had a nice house in Babel, the swimming pool in the backyard, is not coming back to Eretz Yisrael. So he says it's disgusting that such a thing happened. That means if you make it like a choma, that a wall where the stones are very tightly connected to each other, and you all would have come back in the days of Ezra, you would have been like silver that does not rot. But now you came like doors where one opens and the other one's closed and you're not connected to each other. So now it's like Erez, where rot can rot away the wood. So my Erez, what does it mean that we're like Erez, that part of it is rotted away and part of it is not rotted away? Where do you find that by cedar wood, that only part of it is rotted away? And so Amar Ula, sasmagar, that there's a certain type of worm that eats away at cedar wood that from the inside, and the outer shell still looks intact, but the whole inside is empty. So my sasmagar, I'm Rabbi Abba Baskol. So what's the sasmagar that we're talking about? Meaning, what's still left? What's the shell that's left? So that's a baskol. That after the Nevi'im were gone, so we lost Ruach HaKodesh Miklal Yisrael. V'adayin hayu mishamshim baskol. But at least we were still able to utilize the koach of baskol. So this is a smugger that eats that which is inside and leaves the klipa. That klipa is the baskol. Reish Lakish mimishtayi v'adayi Rabbi Rabbi Chana. Wait a second. Would Reish Lakish just have a public conversation with Rabbi Rabbi Chana? Umar Rabbi Lazar Demar Daradi Yisrael. Rabbi Lazar, who's the most chashu person. V'lav mishtayi Reish Lakish v'adayi. And Reish Lakish wouldn't have a public conversation with him. Demand him. And the reason Reish Lakish wouldn't have such public conversations is because he knew that he became such a trustworthy person that anyone who he would publicly converse with, people would be willing to do business with without even having witnesses, because they knew that whoever Reish Lakish talks to is the most trustworthy person. So Reish Lakish was very careful. He didn't talk to anybody because he didn't want that on his head, that all these people are going to have business deals going on without witnesses, because they assume that if Reish Lakish is talking to them, then the most trustworthy person. So Badi Rabbi Bar Chana Mishtai, he wouldn't even talk to the Gedolei Olam. So he's going to talk to Rabbi Bar Chana in the Shuk. It can't be that's what happened. That's the story. Summer of Papa Shadi Gavra Benayi. You have to throw in different people into that story. Oh, Reish Lakish have a Uzi Iri. Maybe it was the Iri who helped out Reish Lakish. Oh, Rabbi Bar Chana have a Reb Lazar. Maybe it wasn't Reish Lakish at all. It's Rabbi Bar Chana who was bathing, and it was Reb Lazar who was helping him out. Okay, so Bez Hashem will begin with Kiyasa L'Kamei Rabbi Yochanan tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.